The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It seems so very long ago, but just 5 years, that CNN broadcast throughout the day this church that wouldn't close, and then a few days of rage from around the nation against us. Easter looked very different. How ironic, the irony, how ironic that the church, where God's people gather amidst perils throughout the ages, I mean, a people for whom the Lord has appointed a time to be born and then a time appointed for them to come home. A people who cannot ever die. How ironic, the church where Jesus says he comes only for the sick, gathered unto the great physician of soul and body, reacts in fear. Most every church in the world closes. That Luther hymn that we just sang, when life and death contended, still today. And today is the 477th anniversary of Johannes Bugenhagen receiving his crown of life. I mean, it's someone you will meet. I mean, every Lutheran should know the name. Johannes Bugenhagen, Martin Luther's pastor. Very instrumental in the Reformation. You know, when the plague reached Wittenberg, the government ordered the healthy, the Wittenberg faculty, Luther, Bugenhagen, shut down the church, leave town. and they defied the government. They stayed. Luther writes a mighty fortress during plague. And Luther and Bugenhagen just added lots of services, as the church has done through many, many, many plagues, as we did here. Lots of services. We only did our duty as a church. As long as we have breath. Your Lord lives. What can truly harm you? What is there to fear? Your life is filled with so much irony. What appears to be one thing on the surface can be quite different. I mean, I look at all these beautiful people. You look good. You smell nice. Most of you. But on the inside, it's more complicated, isn't it? Sinfully complicated. Yet, ironically, you are a saint, holy, right now, by his works. Yeah. But it doesn't always seem like it. You know, the passion of our Lord was full of irony. Jesus calls his horrific death his glory, betrayed with a sign of affection, accused of blasphemy while the accusers commit blasphemy. People confessed Jesus deserves to die according to the law. It's true, but not as they meant. Also, the high priest said it was expedient that one man should die for the people. True, but not in the way he meant. Legitimate trials for Jewish people cannot take place in darkness. And the greatest of situational irony, the will of the Father is the same as the mob. The Father wants Barabbas to go free. And Jesus die in his place. People ask for Jesus' blood to be on them and on their children. And they think killing him is a just act. And they're right. Couldn't be more right. But not in the way they meant. He's pronounced innocent 5 times and still condemned to death. And no epithet ever been so true, no accusation so precise, but the mocking charge from Pilate above his head there. Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. And even the devil was used by God for good. I mean, for this most evil, unjust of all acts, deicide, the death of God, the greatest good in all creation. What all creation has looked to. It's how God loved the world and saved even the likes of you. The irony throughout is caused by the gracious will of our Father and the evil intentions of people. What is meant for evil, God always uses for good for his people. And that irony unfolds countless times in your days. Why suffering? Why evil? Why me? So the Lord can bring a greater good and draw you and others closer to him. And the irony we even hear today, the women who should know better, but the women are going to the tomb to anoint a dead body. Your life is full of irony. I mean, how often we don't realize all that is ours, to live like it and act like it. You keep your head up. Your Lord lives. And what did you hear the angels declare to you today in the gospel? Remember how he told you. 80 years ago, a great story of irony, a pastor and death row inmate walked the gallows together. A criminal stood above the trap door. Moments later, it would rope him into eternity. An officer asked, "Any final words?" He said, "I place all my confidence in the Lamb who made atonement for my sins. God have mercy on my soul." And then he turned toward the man who had been the shepherd of his soul, the one whose hand he received the body and blood of Jesus in the supper. To this pastor he said, "I'll see you again." Then noosed and hooded and dropped out of this world into another. And there's many similar scenarios like this in history when death is imminent. Men repent and faith in the Christ confessed. There's not many atheists in foxholes. But what makes this so remarkable, so ironic, that this man and others hanged that day are the most hated men in human history. They're guilty of atrocities so horrific. These men were Hitler's generals. Yet in the months leading up to the executions, many of them had been transformed from Hitler's wolves into Christ's lambs. God worked through a farm boy from Missouri, an LCMS pastor, and a reluctant chaplain to 15 war criminals during the Nuremberg trials. Pastor Gerke went cell by cell, invited them to chapel. 15 chairs set up, 13 filled. Liturgy, hymns, prayers, catechized. Hearts were changed. Lips once barked, "Heil Hitler," now, "Amen," as they knelt to receive the sacrament. When word came that Pastor Gerke was going to be sent home, these men, they wrote a letter to Mrs. Gerke, begged her, have him stay. On that letter, the signatures of all these former Nazi generals who had such great power and rank, now humbly beseeching an American housewife who hadn't seen her husband in 3 years, let him stay. And her brief reply to her husband, "They need you." A whole volume about sacrifice and love there. How ironic, these evil men, now in paradise. The scandal of Christianity is not that these men went to heaven, but God loved them so much that he dies to get them there, to draw himself, to draw them unto himself. He will stop at nothing to draw you unto himself, to spend eternity with you. And so 65 years ago, Pastor Gerke entered the innumerable company of saints who'd gone before him, like the one who said, I'll see you again. And he did. You will meet them too. The irony, you love. People can truly change by the power of God's word. And the irony that any of us should ever follow the world's advice, the irony, in order to live, you die to self. There's no other life. Your hope is not in your life, your dreams, nor with pagan wisdom of Facebook, Instagram, or this world. Do not be so foolish. You know, I've said it before, but the worst advice in the history of the world, tells you to follow your heart and live your dreams, and you be you. It's ironic this world will tell you that your identity is what you do, who you love, how you act. That is a lie. Your Lord lives. Your identity is determined by who he is. You, his baptized child, are defined by him. And thus you, your life, immeasurable worth because of whose you are. And the irony, the world looks at you, insignificant you. You are the reason that the sun rose today. You have more treasure and wealth than Elon Musk. It's ironic how you don't think you might have much family. How often you think you're alone, that no one cares, that you're not loved. You think God's not bothered by your daily issues. It's ironic the way we act. Often our homes don't seem like they're filled with baptized people living in the wake of our Lord's death and resurrection. How ironic you spend so much time and energy and get so anxious and so much effort on things that will never satisfy you. And how you live as if your risen Lord is not reigning over all things and concerned about you every single day. Your life is his. Has no end. And you will never, ever, ever die. Do you realize all that is yours, what you have? Jesus' resurrection, eternal life sealed in his word, sacraments. Grasp that reality. Changes everything for you. And we're celebrating Easter not just because Jesus died and rose, but because he gives his resurrected life right here and now, joined to Jesus. Heaven and earth coming together as in no other way on the planet. He feeds you his resurrected body and blood, medicine of immortality. For your Lord has said, whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. Your Lord lives to carry your burdens, guide you, forgive you, to listen to every single cry and prayer you make, to wipe away your tears and comfort you who mourn. And though you stood at the grave with the casket, you will throw your arms around Grandma again. Your parent you attended to at the bedside in brokenness of body will embrace you again. And though you held the hand of your beloved as you felt the life depart, you will hold them in the kingdom of God. Though your heart was crushed beyond despair by the loss of child, Christ will place them into your arms again. Mothers will not lose their children. And he ushers us all into eternity. I always say to those on their deathbed, I will see you again. Maybe you say it too. It's not a promise I can keep. It is a promise our risen Lord always keeps. Your Lord lives. There's no such thing as the end. And you're still celebrating Easter with your loved ones in Christ. Join your song with theirs before his throne. It is happening. Bask in the beautiful reality of this day. Remember how he told you the answer to all of your life's irony, the answer to your greatest needs. Der Christus ist auferstanden. Yeah. The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.